Why host a series of sermons? A series of sermons can be very important to every individual. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 22. And therefore, pleasing God is a wonderful thing for us to do. Why not hold a series of sermons so that the preaching of the gospel will make God very happy? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. People can come to faith in the Lord and obedience to Christ Jesus because of the preaching and teaching that is done in a series of sermons. But also there's a benefit and blessing for every member of the congregation when a series of sermons is proclaimed. That blessing can come in the form of repetition. When the truth is repeated, when verses are rehearsed again and again, our memories are activated and we can remember where we once heard that, now we have heard it again and again, and no doubt it will be implemented in our minds as we face the challenges of life from day unto day. As a result, we remember what God has said on a subject, we remember verses that apply to the subject, and we find ourselves being more cautious as well as more affirmative in following God's righteous way. For example, if in a series of sermons it was introduced to us that twice in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse 12, and chapter 16 and verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death, then the emphasis on that passage would be to check things out, be more cautious about what we believe and practice, because there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. You see, because we were in a series of sermons, and those verses were emphasized to us, perhaps again and again, we have them retained in our memory now, so that as we face the challenges of life from day unto day, we find ourselves patiently looking again, patiently investigating, patiently looking to see if in fact the way we're going is a way that leads unto life, or if it is a way that is deceptive and leading us toward a certain death. Remember again the passages of Proverbs 14, verse 12, and 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. The benefits of a series of sermons can be to each individual member of a congregation, as well as to friends who are invited. And that brings us to the next invitation. And that's the invitation to be a branch serving our Lord. When Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, he said, the same beareth much fruit. Notice that he says he purges that vine, purges those branches, so that they will bear even more fruit. When you and I hear the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed again and again, a series of sermons, as it were, proclaiming that message of the Lord, we find ourselves reflecting upon our own lives, and we can become people who repent, change our way of life, call upon God to forgive us, as in Acts chapter 8 at verse 22, Simon the sorcerer was told to ask the Lord to forgive him, repent and pray that the Lord would forgive him of the thought and intent of his heart. He wanted to be restored. He wanted to come back to the way of the Lord that he once believed in and practiced. Now then that he had gone away from it by his sin, he wanted to return. He was told not to go back and be rebaptized, nor to start his journey with the Lord once again, but to repent and pray that the Lord would forgive him of the thought and intent of his heart. As a result of this, he found himself back in a right relationship with the Lord. So can we, as we apply the lessons that are done, applying them to our own personal growth, we'll find ourselves growing in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll find ourselves enjoying coming back to the Lord's right way on subject after subject that we may have been amiss on, we may have been astray on. But because of the teaching of the Lord and the teaching of it repeatedly, we find ourselves knowledgeable of His right way and wanting to be the servant of God once again. Yes, these are a variety of reasons that are involved, but then there's yet one more that I want to bring to your attention today. And that is, we need to have the right motive as well as the right activity. You know, sometimes preached and proclaimed to us is the right way of the Lord, but we find ourselves without the motive of love for the Lord and love for His right way. And as a result of that, we do things on the basis of our own decision-making, our own reflection. Such was the case of a king in the Old Testament of the Bible. You can read of him in 2 Kings chapter 10, particularly at verse 25 at the close of his journey. The Lord praised him for the work that he did, but he did not praise him for the attitude of his heart. He went back into the ways of the world and the ways of idolatry that was present before him. This man Jehu was one who had a vengeance upon the household of Ahab and Jezebel. He did the right thing by ridding the earth of their presence and their activities. God praised him for his work, but not for his basic attitude. When we find ourselves wondering about the attitude that we should have, we find 1 Corinthians chapter 13 immediately coming to mind. And that is, if we give our bodies to be burned, bestow all God's goods to feed the poor, and we have not love or charity, we have become as a sounding brass and a clanking or tinkling cymbal. In the ears of God, we are no more than just a noise. We do not need to be that kind of individual. We need to serve loyally and faithfully the cause of God. And by the repetitious nature of a series of sermons, we can find ourselves having not only the right activity to do, but also the right motivation to do it. We need to be people who serve the Lord with great love. And because of that love we have in our hearts, we do not invoke things that are not true. If there were people out here, and they found themselves perhaps in a pool of water, and we were to get out of our automobile or our truck and throw them a rope and pull them to shore, what would we think of those individuals if when they got to shore and the news reporters came up to them to interview them about their tragedy and about their rescue, they began immediately to praise that rope that was thrown to them? That rope was just the right length, they say. That rope was just the right twist of hemp. That rope was strong sufficiently to pull us in. Wonderful is that rope. We need to find that rope company and praise them highly for that rope. Well, what about the person who threw that end of the rope to them? What about that individual who had compassion and mercy in his heart that sought to be of help? Oh, just leave him out and let's praise the rope. We would think that unconscionable. We would think that's not possible. People wouldn't do that. Surely they would not do that. And yet, salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in His blood, Ephesians 1 and verse 7, oftentimes has been replaced by our praise of certain things the Lord has told us to do. He's told us to have a faith, Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, a faith that mixes with grace that we may be saved, Ephesians 2 and verse 5. We need to be people who praise the Lord, and we need to be obedient to His way and His will. That faith moves us to repent of sins in Acts 2 at verse 38, to confess the Lord in Acts 8 at verses 36 through 38, and to be baptized into Christ in every one of the examples in the book of Acts. Praising those ideals and praising those activities would be just the same nature of praising that rope that saved us from the water and rescued us from the water. If we were to praise the rope and forget all about the person who threw us that end of the rope, that would be foolish indeed. And it would be foolish for us to thank God for the wonderful blessing of faith, repentance, confession, baptism, membership in the church of our Lord, worship in spirit and in truth, and forget all about the Lord in the process. Gospel meetings, series of sermons can remind us of not only the right thing to do, but the right attitude to have. A series of sermons, that's coming up, and we look forward to it with Brother Michael Bates, beginning on Sunday, July the 28th, through Thursday night, August 1st, 2013. Come and be with us at every one of those evening services. Evening services Monday through Thursday will be at 7:30 each evening.